The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
Good morning. I was glad that Brother Tim asked me to go ahead and speak on the part of revival. We've been speaking on apathy, and you win today no matter what. If you have looked forward to the sermons on apathy, this is the sixth one in a row. If you've hated it, this is the last one. So either way, you guys win. In speaking on apathy the last, 5 weeks, we've talked about apathy being just an indifference towards spiritual things. We've talked about how much the Lord despises that. And He says, I would rather you be hot or cold than be just indifferent. And so I've spent a great deal of time on this last topic concerning apathy being a revival, on how to go about preaching on a topic like that. And I just decided that there's no way that I could ever really do it justice. And I've prayed that the Lord will help us to just glean something from it. If nothing else, I hope that you can find some encouragement from it and maybe a little bit better understanding of what revival is. I jotted down a couple definitions of revival. One of the definitions was an improvement in the condition or strength of something. And another definition was a time when something becomes important again. So meaning that there was something that has been important to you in the past, but it's lost its importance and it becomes important to you again. That's the definitions of revival. Now, you won't actually find the word revival in the King James Bible, but you will find some derivative of it, revived, reviving, things like that. But the definitions of revival, those are two very good definitions that I'd like to point out. I think it's important when I speak on revival that we understand what revival generally is not. Because if we have a misunderstanding of what revival is, there's a chance that we may be actually experiencing it and not realize it. So typically, when you think of revival, what do you think of? When somebody says, hey, or they just mention the word revival to you, what do you think of? Well, typically I think of a corporate type thing. I think of something that's just electric and just a massive movement of children of God turning back towards the Lord and getting excited about the Lord again and seeing Him as important again. And definitely that definitely qualifies and meets the definition of revival, but generally that is not what revival is about. Now, if you go back through the Old Testament and even some of the New Testament, you will find great examples of corporate revival. You go through the book of Judges, you go through the book of 1 and 2 Kings, and you begin to read some of that, you will find times when God's people were in very much, not so much just a state of apathy, but they were almost in just utter rebellion towards God. And you will find that they go through periods of time where because of their rebellion towards God, He may step back and see a wicked nation take them over. Maybe it's the Philistines or the Ammonites or the Amalekites or somebody like that. And they will take the children of God and they will put them in bondage. And after sometimes decades and decades and decades of that bondage, those people would cry out to the Lord, and you would see the Lord deliver them, and you would see a massive, electric, very well-known revival. The Lord would become important to them again. And definitely we see that. We've seen that in Wales. If you read up on that, there was a great revival in Wales back in the 1800s, 1800 and something, I'm not sure, where there were just thousands upon thousands of converts. You will read in the New Testament about the day at Pentecost when, the Holy Spirit came down and those apostles, they stood up and they preached. And you will read about times when 3,000 souls were added to the church, not to heaven, but to the church that day. So revival can absolutely be a corporate thing. But the danger of thinking that that revival is only ever that electric, very visible, very well-known corporate type revival is that you may very well experience a revival and never realize it because you're looking for something else. And so you may find yourself in great periods of discouragement because you think what I'm feeling right now is really not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for something bigger than this, more electric than this. So it's important to understand what revival generally is not, because if you, again, if you read through the Old Testament, there were people who lived in the very prosperous times of the children of Israel that maybe never experienced the judgment of God. Maybe they never experienced being handed over into the hands of a wicked nation. And maybe they never experienced the turning from that and the deliverance from that. You know, I would say in my own personal life, I'm 40 years old, and I would say that, you know, I've pretty much grown up in a prosperous United States of America. You know, it's been a very blessed nation. And so I can look at that and say, you know, I've grown up in the good times. But there may come times, and there have been times in the past, when the America that we experience today is not the America that we may experience in 30 or 40 years. And in 30 or 40 years, you may see a different America that's suffering under the hands of wicked men. And you may see on the other side of that a great revival amongst our nation.
Right.
But you may not. So some people live their whole lives and never saw or experienced that great corporate revival. So what is revival, generally speaking? What is it? Revival to me is something very personal. Apathy. I have not been talking about the apathy of the nation or the apathy of a local body of believers. I've been talking about a personal apathy. So I want to talk to you about a personal revival. A personal awakening, a personal excitement. I want to see, you know, on a personal level, the Lord has become unimportant to us. And on a personal level, we want to see Him become important to us again. We want to see an improvement in our spiritual condition on a personal level. And look, trust me, if we can get revival on personal levels, you will see a revival on a corporate level without having to suffer the judgment of God. It's, you know, listen, oftentimes the judgment of God is what brings about the revival. Well, if we will start with just personal revivals and making the Lord important to us on that level, we will see a corporate revival come from that.
Amen.
So it's important that we understand that. And by revival, I simply mean it's not something that's necessarily, like I said, electric and just massive and just everybody can see it with fireworks. Sometimes revival is just a gentle, still change of your mindset.
Amen.
As the Holy Spirit moves on you.
Right.
That's a revival.
Amen.
And so if we're always looking for that big bang show out here, you may experience that personal still revival and not even recognize it. Now, I can attest to that. There have been times that I have been in very dry seasons. There have been times where I've been in seasons of apathy, when I might not feel like going to church. Or I might not feel like going to a fellowship, but I can't tell you the number of times that I have made myself come to church and sit down in church being as indifferent as anybody in that building and begin to listen to the preacher's talk and to feel the Spirit of God move on me. And my mindset was changed, and I began to forget all the things of the world, and I began to focus on what the Lord was saying and what the preacher was saying, and I left church that day a different man than I came in. That's revival.
Right.
On a personal level. And sometimes I'll admit to you, I have experienced that, and I have gotten by myself, and I just said, Lord, I have missed you. I've been so apathetic. How is it, Lord, that I have so quickly forgotten what it feels like to be filled with your Spirit?
Right.
And I've even thought to myself, how in the world can I go and do anything else and not focus on this? But very quickly, the enemy apathy begins to sneak in. Have you ever experienced something like that?
Amen.
That's revival.
Yeah.
That's revival. Don't be looking out here for a huge corporate United States of America revival. I hope we see it. But be looking inwards, because that's the revival you need to be focusing on. Now, how does that come about? How does that mindset come about? I want you to picture this. You know, today, in today's time, if you're, you know, setting up a house somewhere or whatever, and you've got to get a water supply to that house, Well, most of the time, you just connect to the city water if you live close to the city. If you don't have, if you're not close to city water and you got to be put on well water, well, you hire some guys to come in and they dig a well and they put you a pump in, they hook it all up. It's very easy. But back in the day, if you needed a well for water, you would pick up, I don't know what they had back then, I'm sure it was a shovel or a pickaxe or something similar. And you would take that pickaxe, and I want you to picture a group of men standing around, maybe some young men standing around with them, and they said, oh, we got to dig a well because somewhere down in this dirt, somewhere in this earth, is water that will revive us and refresh us. Now, I want you to really listen to this. And they pick that pickaxe up, and they take one big swing, and whack, they pull a chunk of dirt out, and they all stare at the ground. Nothing. They do it again. Nothing. They do it again and again and again, and their arms are aching, and they're tired, and they're hot, and they're sweaty, and they're craving what's down in there. But they have to keep chipping away at it and chipping away at it and chipping away at it. And eventually, one of those strokes falls, and they pull it out, and what do they see? The little bottom filling up with water. Revival can be a lot like that for us.
Yeah.
Revival is not necessarily a one-whack, boom, come to church, hear some singing, hear some preaching, and expect to see the Spirit of God just gushing out. I'm not saying it can't happen that way. But oftentimes, for us to find that revival, it's a steady chipping away and laboring and being faithful, just like digging that well, before we necessarily see the Spirit of God fill us up. Now, if you look in the book of Haggai for just a second, I mentioned this in one of the first few sermons about this. In the book of Haggai, what you've got here is you've got the children of Israel who have been in bondage, and they've come out of the bondage from Babylonia, from Babylon, from the Babylonians, and they come back to Jerusalem, and the temple has been destroyed, and instead of going and building, rebuilding the temple, they spend all of their efforts going and rebuilding their houses and making them real nice and fancy, and the house of God laid in waste. And so the Lord comes and rebukes them, and he says, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses in this house, speaking of the house of God, lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And he goes on and basically tells them, your way's not working. You know, you sow a lot and you reap a little. You go make all this money and you put it in pockets that have holes all in it. And so he tells them, I want you to consider your ways. The word way there means path or road. He says, I want you to consider your path. And he says, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. That's his instruction to them. You've got your fancy little houses over here, but I want you to consider the path that you're on. A path where you have made me not very important. What happens when God has become not very important? You need a revival to make him important again. And he says, what you need to do is you need to go up into the mountain and you need to bring wood. Do you think that was easy? Do you think it was easy to do that? It's about like digging that well, right? Labor and labor and labor and labor. But eventually there was water. Go up into the mountain and bring the wood. You know, they didn't get in their 18-wheelers and their track hoes and all their logging equipment. They went up there and they worked and they sweat and they labored to do what the Lord had instructed them to do. And you find the end result of that. It said, and the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of the remnant of the people. The word stirred there means to awake or excite. You know what the Lord did? He took apathy and he threw it out of the house. Why? He filled them with his spirit because they had gone up into the mountain and they had brought the wood. They had labored. Now, what do we do in our seasons of apathy? Somebody asked me a question after we started this. They said, what about a situation where you're apathetic about being apathetic? I thought that was a pretty good question. What if you're indifferent to being indifferent? Well, I would put that in the category that you read over in Hebrews chapter 10, where it says, You know, if a man sins willfully after he's come to the knowledge of the truth,
yeah,
there's a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. If we're indifferent about being indifferent, I would just say fasten your seatbelts. The Lord has a way to get his people's attention.
That's right.
If man can't get it, the Lord has a way of getting his people's attention.
Right.
And oftentimes that's not pleasant. Mm. So if you are indifferent about being indifferent, I will pray for you. And if I ever get there, I hope you pray for me. But what if you do have a concern about being indifferent? What do you do? I would say, as an end-all conclusion to the matter, what does a child of God do when he is experiencing personal apathy? I think the answer to that is steadfast obedience. Steadfast obedience. And what do I mean by that? I mean dig the well. Pick the axe up. Start chopping away. And when you dig a chunk of dirt out and you don't necessarily see the Spirit of God reviving you, which is interesting, the Spirit of God is often described as water. When you pull a chunk of dirt out and you don't feel the Spirit of God filling you up, swing again and swing again and swing again. Go up to the mountain and bring the wood back, trusting that the Lord is faithful to his promise. One of the Bible verses I heard from when we first started coming here long ago, Brother Tim preached on, was Proverbs 16, I believe it's verse 3. And it says, commit thy works to the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. And he made the point that day that we've got that backwards a lot of times in today's time. We say, you got to get your mind right so your works will follow. But what the Bible says, get your works right, and then your thoughts will follow. Don't wait till you're ready mentally to dig the well. Don't wait till you're mentally ready to go up into the mountain and bring the wood back. You continue to labor and be obedient to the Lord, even when you don't feel like it, trusting at the bottom of that well is the Spirit of the living God that's there to revive you.
Amen.
Now, when it says commit thy ways, commit thy thoughts, I preached on this a while back on another verse. The definition of commit there, the definition of commit is to roll. Is to roll from one, like to roll from one place to another. Yesterday I was out and we were building a fence and I'd been working all day on it and I was so tired and I was wet and it was just so soppy and dirty and nasty outside. And we had some big cedar posts that they were probably, I don't know, some of them were, you know, 8 or 9 feet long and some of them were, you know, 12 inches around. They were wet. And I was getting those posts, and I was having to, you know, stand them up and try my best to get them on my shoulder and get them over to where they were supposed to go. And by the last one just happened to be the biggest one. And it was late, and you know, if you know me, I like to get stuff off my list. I like to finish it. And I didn't want to leave it hanging. And I looked at it, and I said, you know what, I got one more to do. And I wasn't even sure that if I had the strength left to pick it up. So I kind of picked one end of it up and my foot was sliding because I was kind of on a little bit of a hill. And I said, you know, if I can possibly get this thing on my shoulder, I'm going to fall and slip and kill myself. So Emma was over there helping me some. I said, Emma, let's just roll it over there. So we got that thing lined up. She got on one end and I got on the other end. And we got down in the mud and we just rolled that huge cedar post about 30, 40 feet over there to get it where it needed to go. It took some effort to roll it from here to there. And brothers and sisters, sometimes it takes effort to commit yourself. It takes effort to dig that well. It takes effort to go up into the mountain and bring wood back. But my prayer is that the Lord will bless us and our spirits will be stirred or awakened or excited and he'll throw apathy out of the window. That's my prayer for revival. Now, when you get up, you may not feel like coming to church on Sunday mornings. You may not feel like putting on the cloak of humility. You may not feel like putting on a merciful cloak or a cloak of grace or forgiveness. You may not feel like doing that. But to commit thy works to the Lord is to do it anyway,
right,
trusting that at the end of that matter, your thoughts and your mindset will change. And apathy will have gone and left you with the Spirit of God dwelling in you, with a spirit of revival. Now, the Bible tells us to not be weary in well-doing. You dig a well, you go get wood, you roll a cedar post. Weariness is a natural side effect.
Yeah.
But he says, don't be weary in it, because in due season we'll reap if we faint not.
Amen.
Now, he also tells us that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So I want to leave you with this. I know you don't feel like coming to church sometimes. I know you don't feel like being kind and forgiving to each other sometimes. I know you don't feel like singing sometimes. I know you don't feel like going to fellowship sometimes. I encourage you to keep digging that well.
Amen.
Just keep hacking away at it. And you may not feel necessarily a spirit of revival the first time you hit that dirt, or the second time, or the third time, but trust me, God is faithful.
Amen.
That it may be a time you sit there and you say, I've sat here for 10 weeks and I just still feel apathetic. Well, that 11th week, you may leave out of here a different person.
Amen.
So be faithful. Steadfast obedience is the personal revival. That's the key to the personal revival that we need.
Amen.
Now, I hope that that's been profitable to you. I could have stood up here and given you 1,000 things, and certainly they're important. You need to confess and repent, and you need to do all that kind of stuff. But if you don't understand revival, it's going to be difficult to apply it. So I hope you understand that when the Lord blesses you and you feel something stir inside of you through song or through preaching, you need to thank Him for that, because He has taken you away from a place of great danger.
Right.
And set you back into a place where He is important to you like He ought to be.
Right.
Now, I hope that's been profitable to you. If you've despised it, it's over. You don't have to worry about it anymore. But I have enjoyed preaching it. It's been more of a blessing to me because I struggle with it just as much as anybody. We all will face seasons of apathy.